Hey, everybody. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call. And I fired Terry. She usually does this part, but she wanted a raise.
I'm in trouble. That's funny.
She wanted a raise, and we just didn't have the budget. So those are people checking into the conference call line. We're what's it called? We're all together. All the lines are open. Anyone want to say hello?
This is Suzanne. Suzanne is saying greetings. Hello. Aloha.
Wait a second. Is that Suzanne Hayes?
That's me.
No, you're not on the conference line. You're on the air. You're a guest tonight. You have to, like, hold a little reserve. You're not just another conference line person. You are our honored guest. Somebody else came into the conference line. And would they like to say hello?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Jean. You can see I'm smiling.
I hear you.
Speak up, Suzanne.
I just love to talk to people from bygone days, at Jean especially. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
I hear you're doing better.
Yes, yes, I'm doing some better. At least I'm hanging in there. I'm never giving up.
Good.
You know, when I first met Suzanne, she was like dedicated to reach people, and she had a blog. Was it a blog or something? She went by the name of Tree Hugger.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Wasn't that your name, Tree Hugger?
It sure was.
And she had been studying Carla Ruckert's material for quite some time, and she decided that she had discovered the highest truth ever, and she wanted to put it out to the world. So she had her own little blog. And then someone who had run into Suzanne and also had run into me, I think it was Kathy, wasn't it Kathy who put us together?
Actually, Kathy was on one of the lists of individuals that you asked me to follow up.
Well, who was it that put me in connection to you? How do we find you?
Yes, it was several other people also. Excuse me.
So Suzanne had read, you know, was a student of Carla Ruckert's The Law of One, the raw material, which we always talk about so often, and then somebody referred her, and she discovered the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And she said, well, this might be the raw material too. So she started studying that. And then, of course, she started coming into our calls. And now there's this whole new element, because we have the Elohim at that time. And I think when you were first paying attention to us, Suzanne was paying attention to our conference calls prior to us ever doing a live channeling on a call. Prior. And, you know, sometimes I would read them. Sometimes we would play tapes. And it was a little scary to do a live channeling on a call. I don't know if you can understand. You probably know why it's scary. If you think about all the disclaimers I always make, and that is, how can you trust the channeling? How do you know it's positive? You always have to think about it. you have to make sure, to the best of your ability, the negative tries to come through people and mislead them. And so when you do a live channeling, you can't take anything back. You put it out, and it sounds like, you know, you're behind it. Of course, if I ever thought something was wrong, I would announce it. I'd say, I don't think that was good. But, you know, over time, we went through a lot of changes. There was a period where I had someone else channeling. He wasn't channeling the Ra group or the Elohim group, but he had a very wise source. And if you want to know the history, Terry was so shy that we were producing this show, and it was similar. This space we're doing now this Wednesday is used to be our guest channeler, and I would host it. People would send in questions, and Terry would ask the questions. It was a whole production, and occasionally he didn't show up. And when he showed up, I said, Terry, what do you think? Should we try it? And we did, you know, so we did it a couple times, and eventually it fell apart, and I was thinking, now I can take Wednesdays off, because I didn't really want to do three calls a week. I said, I'm just going to do Monday nights, and this was before we started doing the grid healings, and I was just going to do Monday night, and now I'm doing Monday and Sunday, and now we were going to cancel Wednesdays, and they, our sources, said, we hope you don't cancel. We really like doing that. And so we continued. But I think Suzanne was on the call for some of our historic calls. She was on the call when, weren't you on the call for the grid healing we did in New York City with Daphne?
Oh, yes, I was.
Yeah. This was our Sunday calls are derivative of that first time Daphne and I were in New York City, and we were on a radio show there, and we did a channeling, and I said, would it be a good idea to go visit the World Trade Center? And they said, yes. So we went to what was left of the World Trade Center, and we couldn't get any energy going. We tried calling in the light, and it was like thud. And so then I did another channeling, and I said, this was in 2006, I think. And I said, would it be a good idea to get everyone on the conference call on and to call in the light with them? Maybe we could get through. And they said, that was a really good idea. And so we did it. And it was kind of hard to believe it was real. You know, there's many aspects to what we do that it's taken me quite some time to integrate that we're really doing this, that we're really working as a partnership with these two group souls, one that created the physical universe and one that's graduates of this realm, and that throughout history, they've been recognized as God at various times, and I mean, it's an unreality to it. I mean, those of you who have read the story know how it started with Daphne, where she would tap me on the shoulder and say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I didn't believe they were who they say they were. I said, well, we'll just let this unfold and see what happens. And then we do this grid healing, Terry, they actually explained, I should go retrieve this. It's on YouTube somewhere, where there's a thing where the Elohim were explaining how it looked from their point of view when they did this, that they were beaming in from the other realm through all this dark stuff that was around the World Trade Center and clearing the space. Suzanne, how did that feel? You see, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and here I am talking. So now I got to ask you a question. I'm going to stop talking and ask you some questions.
May I ask you something, Vin, first?
Yes.
Are you recording?
Oh, no, I forgot to record.
Okay.
See, hi, what am I going to do without you?
So Terry has a furlough day.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Hang on,
Well, I'm here. I'm holding the energy.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
All right. Now, this is Monday, January 16th, 7:14 p.m. This is our Monday night BBS call with Suzanne Hayes as our guest. And some of you who are reading our emails have noticed a little thing that Suzanne is one of the longest standing active people on our calls. And many of you have been reading. She was the first person to do transcriptions. And up till the time she went in the hospital, she was doing our Wednesday transcriptions very, very diligently and responsibly. And many people, those transcriptions helped lots and lots of people keep going. And then she had a bout of pneumonia a couple of months ago. She went in the hospital, and then she went into a nursing home, and then she went back to the hospital, and then she went back to the nursing home, and she's our guest tonight from the nursing home. What's the name of that nursing home, Suzanne?
The one right now that I'm in is called Tall Pines.
Tall Pines.
Right. And the previous one was White Mountains called.
Uh-huh. How do you like the food at Tall Pines?
It's not. Have you ever seen the movie with Dustin Hoffman?
Oh, no.
Which one?
It's not that bad.
Not that bad.
I wouldn't want to give it out to, but I'll tell you, if you didn't have any food, you'd want it.
Well, that's
a
good sign. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm not going to say boo to anything. It just depends on what you're criticizing it next to. But, like, people in the gutters that don't have food, then there's food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you're not in the gutter right now.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
We wouldn't say that.
I have a group of people who are more or less trying to get me home.
Home. Now,
you know,
the first time Suzanne said that, I said, "Now listen, you're not planning on leaving this realm, are you?" And she said, "No, she meant her home."
No, I have not planned on leaving, but I am a person who believes that when it is your time, it's your time.
So,
you know, when it's not, it's not.
Suzanne,
so,
I got a question
about
for
it.
You. I got a question
yeah.
for you. There was a time when you were a typical American who was programmed by the consensus reality, who you were married at one point. At what point did you start to become a wacko?
All of my life, I have been a little bit different. That's what I can say about that. It depends, again, who are you comparing it to? There's so many wackos in the world. It's a world of wackos.
Well, I mean the wackos that we can actually call wackos wanderers. Wanderers are those beings from other dimensions that don't
yes.
really fit.
The wanderer,
They can certainly look like wackos to people who are in consensus reality. Particularly if they express their
views. The people in consensus reality, I was pretty much a lifelong wacko.
A lifelong wacko.
Yeah, now, when I was young, even.
At one point, You were a Jehovah's Witness, isn't that right?
Yes, I was.
Now, what brought you into that? You don't have to.
You know, I
that.
Really believe that on some level, on some plane, I recalled there would be a new heaven and a new earth. At some point, I didn't know what to expect, but that never left me. And it's in the Bible. And when I saw that, when I was 22, I was so amazed. I went, there is the answer for the world. And when I saw it, it's like it just grabbed a hold of me, and I couldn't give it up. It's like, you know, a new heaven and a new earth. Don't we need that? We do. And that's what all the ascension things are about.
Can I grab your cash?
Yes, dear.
Okay.
And so I can, what can I say is this hope of new heaven and new earth, that's all over so many religions in the world, and it's universal. You can talk to somebody, and it'll string a note with them, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know. I started to study in earnest in 2003. I had amazing, astounding, every kind of fantastic happenings going on in my life at that time that were verifying all the things that they were saying they were. Like, I would have amazing miracles happen. It was like, what's going on with this? And finally I realized it had to be the Ra. It had to be the, I didn't know the Elohim as well, but I came to know them. So it was this group that evidently had been following me, and I had been following it all of my life, not realizing what was going on. And here they were, still following me some years later when I met Wynn, and on so many different bases. I mean, I can just look at something and I can recall that that's something that was connected to something else. I don't know if you've had the experience, Wynn, but it's like the most fantastic deja vus of somebody knowing somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, and that they're connected with something else. It's fantastic. It can have no other answer except of a cosmic, dynamic, intelligent force that's connected to all us together. And I'm just thrilled all the time when I think about that. And now I'm sick, but that doesn't matter. There's always something good I've learned to come out of these so-called disasters. And don't the Ra say it in their material, that when you have these catalysts, it all points to something good, and something will eventually come out good. I've had things happen in my life, like my fire in my house. It the miracles that happened because of the fire.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
One thing after the other, after the other. I wish I had so much time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. How did you discover the record material?
I was here's a story. I was out in the desert, and in the desert there was a huge whirlwind. It was blowing, it was like a mile high. It was beautiful, but it was scary. And it was going faster and faster and faster. And I had just written I had just read the night before in a book called the Asopi Bible, that in the Asopi Bible it asked a question. It said, excuse me, if you want to know about my world, speaking of God, look to the whirlwind, look to the vortex. And I went, what does that mean? Well, the next day, wouldn't you know it, I've read something from David Wilcox that had to do with the whirlwind and the vortex and the swirling, whirling things that are going on in the universe, in our lives, even in our bodies, in the cells of our bodies. And there was the answer. It was giving me that answer, that the all these whirling, twirling things. And then you, when you brought it out in the raw material, and not the raw material, but the Creator God's book, where it talks about them talking about swirling and twirling and whirling. And this is part of the system that they did. So I really paid attention and I listened and I read. And I read the things that Record said. And then that led to more things he said. And then I realized that you and he had to have come upon the same sight, the same ambience, the same energy. And because of that, I knew there's my answer. And so I took that up and I just went with that, and I never looked back. And they just got bigger and bigger and bigger, so that now I can just say with verity that this has got to be the most fantastic, life-affirming, self-affirming thing that a person could ever know about. Why I've given this privilege, I don't know that. I don't know why I've been given it. Perhaps it's just a matter that I treasure it, that I honor it, that I, among others, perhaps love it and would appreciate it. And it was given to me as a gift because I can feel that feeling of like, yes, even though those around me sometimes don't get it. They don't get what I'm saying. But I know, and I know how fantastic it is. And so I wish that all of you would have that experience in your life, that you can just let it go and just gather on all into yourself and go, this is my truth. This is what's truth for me. And it feels so good. I hope I've talked enough about it.
Actually, I was just thinking, I hope you go on, because I'm feeling it when you're talking.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well,
you're
that's
generating
the
game, the experience.
I can go on.
Yeah.
I can go on.
Now, if you can...
I have so many areas I could go on in from the time that the Elohim told my daughter and myself that we were relatives, that she was my grandmother in another life. I was so jazzed because I knew there was some connection. And somebody had told me once, you know, your daughter and you were connected in another lifetime. And then they said it. They said, when you were a little girl, your grandmother who is now your daughter, that's your daughter. And you two arranged this life together to come in. And didn't she just feel like she was my, more than just a friend, more than just anything like that, even more than my daughter, even more than my grandmother. There's some deep cosmic something too that binds us together. There's also something on my other daughters. But that particular one has been given a name, and so I have a name for it. But it doesn't mean the others aren't just as precious. It's just that when they said that, they said, that's your grandmother. And I remember that the soul that through Terry, that soul left, and now it's back because it was that unfinished business. And I remember when I was a little girl, my grandmother had a frontal lobotomy. It's an operation they don't do anymore, and they cut out part of her head, and she was never the same. And that dead grandmother was my benefit, my rock of Gibraltar, and all of a sudden she wasn't there anymore. And she didn't die, she just quit knowing me, and she quit remembering me, and I had to just go my way, very sad. And here she is back again as my very own daughter, even giving the same information from the book. Remember the book, one of those books that you talked about, Elizabeth Hayes' book, Initiation.
Oh, yeah.
Talks about the same thing in there. That's what I've experienced, initiation. And so is my daughter. And
all this stuff
comes through and be woven through Terry over and over and over. And every time you'd send, read this book, go read this book, I would read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have these waves and waves and waves of the most great feelings. And that knowing was verified that there was a reason I'm supposed to be reading these books. And it's beyond belief. It's so good.
Which book was that, by the way? You're talking about?
That particular one was called Elizabeth Hayes.
Right, you're
it's
still talking about
the initiation.
Initiation.
Yeah. All about being a Pharaoh's daughter.
Yes.
All about being a Pharaoh's daughter.
You know, if anyone gets the Egypt, I'm going to do a commercial. The Egypt Connection is a 4-hour workshop, which I think Suzanne was there. And that was a huge deal for me to do that. I never wanted to do that again, but at least I recorded it. And because it went back into the whole. What a lot of people don't realize, and this is not necessarily important for everybody, but for some people it's really important, that we have had lifetimes going back thousands and thousands of years, maybe hundreds of thousands of years. We have these gross repeating patterns, and certain people have had lifetimes in Egypt, and many people. And if you had a lifetime in Egypt, then somewhere in your little unconscious, subconscious, is the memory of those lifetimes. When you read about a lifetime that, or a period, if you read about a period where you had a lifetime, you will always be attracted to that period. And in particular, in Egypt, most people have no idea now, don't even think about it, but in that period of Egypt, prior to Jesus, there was a lot going on. That was David Wilcock was involved in that. I was involved in that. Daphne was involved in that. Terry was not, you know, Terry has no interest in reading that stuff, believe it or not, because I don't think she had lifetimes in that period. But go to egypt.messageaday.net. Egypt, and you can get that 4-hour workshop. Plus, there's a copy of that book Suzanne is talking about, which is, you can look it up on the internet. Somebody had it out as a free PDF, and I just included it in the Egyptian.
Yes, I did too.
Version. Yeah. So it's egypt.messageaday.net. And if you go to that page, even if you don't get the workshop, there's a little audio of Daphne channeling the soul fragment of Nefertiti. Don't miss it. And
Don't miss it. Mm-mm. And
I think we
especially if you're made If you're made, you're pointed, you're deemed to read it, it's telling you, read it. And there's a reason for that, you know. You have to listen to these little voices.
Those of you that have a fascination with the pyramids almost certainly had lifetimes in Egypt. And
Yes. Definitely.
There's a lot of connection with what's going on today, with the Illuminati, with the negative, with things that happened in Egypt, which I went through in that workshop.
You know, right now, Wynn, I want you to know that right now when I'm looking over from where I'm laying in the area where I'm laying to I'm looking over the sink, the sink actually has the wings of Ra right on the sink.
It does.
Yep, that's what they're using as the design for the handles on the sink. The shields of Ra.
And when you said the sink, I thought you said the Sphinx.
Yeah. Well, see, they're all connected. I mean, you mm-hmm. see these little connections that mean to most people nothing. But you see them, and they have a meaning for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a further showing that there's a reason for everything that happens. And you grab that, and you just keep it with you. Because there's so many of these, I can't even tell. That seems like a little thing, but it's actually, it must be huge. It must be very big. I'd like to know more about it sometime, but
the way synchronicities occur?
I just love them. I love synchronicities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're everywhere. You just have to be open to it. I mean, one thing leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. And you've got David leading to you. You've got things leading Carla. You've got other things. And it doesn't matter if Terry doesn't feel part of that. There's some part of her that's connected to the Ra. She's got to be. And because that's connected to the Ra, the others are connected.
I don't know if you ever heard this. And this is a really interesting idea. And I'll put this out because this may be true for many of you who are listening. And it's something that I will bet it never occurred for you. But it's one of the reasons you keep coming back and why you're so intrigued with this work we're putting out. You know, in one of the channelings through Terry, I guess, I don't even remember, because we've asked so many things, I don't remember when it was said. And I didn't ask this, but they said that Terry and I existed prior to the physical universe being created. We were one of those beings that was there, and that I was busy looping energies out, and Terry was learning from me. And at a certain point, I jumped in to say, geez, I'm going to go see what it's like down there. And I didn't come back. And Terry was waiting for me, and then she said, I better go see if he's okay. And she jumped in. And so here we are, a trillion, billion, trillion, God knows how many years later, but of course there's no time. And I don't remember any of that. I don't. And some of you listening might have been, the problem is it's not an ego trip because there's no time. It's not like an ego trip to say you were there at that point. And I don't remember being there. I don't know if I was there, but they said I was in one of the channelings. And it kind of made, you know, when you think about it, kind of makes sense because, you know, I have this great compulsion to fix everything down here.
No.
It's, It's like when you have a great compulsion to fix things, maybe you were part of the original screw-up. Or
that's it. You can't know.
I won't say it was a screw-up, but the original creation. And, you know, I can see, you know, as I've studied all this material and been in on the receiving end of asking all these questions, I can see how it got screwed up. I can feel it. I can track it, you know. It's like,
right.
you know, how it wasn't intended to be screwed up, but beings came in and then they wanted power and they wanted, it was, you know, in this realm. See, when you're in a spirit realm, there's no possessions. And as soon as you think of something, it starts to exist, and then it blows off, and something new comes in the astral plane. But in this realm, everything is so solidified that there's possessions. And possessions cause people to separate and cause enslavement and cause, you know, all kinds of stuff. Caused an elite to control the others. Because when you're in this realm, if you have everyone doing your bidding, life is easier, okay? And so,
yep.
There's not a right or wrong. There's only, if you're negative, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation. We're talking about slavery, and we're talking about the Civil War and black people, and how, in certain situations, they were included in the families. They felt part of the families. When I was young, my parents had a black maid. And we weren't well-to-do. We were like lower middle class, probably middle class. And I loved this woman. And when I was in high school, I used to take the bus and walk over and visit her house in what would have normally been a bad neighborhood. Her name was Reversa. And even when I graduate, when I left Philadelphia and I would come back to visit my parents, I still would go visit her. Because in some ways, she was wiser than my parents. She had more love in her than my parents. God bless them. But, you know, there was something about her that was totally open. And I responded to it, and we were great friends. And she came to clean our house, but she never felt subservient or inferior. She was like making a template space energy that everyone else could dance in. So on the human level, she was a servant. But on the cosmic level, she was a master. So, there is no hierarchy. And so I was looking at the idea of slavery, and yet so many people today are slaves, and they don't know it. They're slaves to the media. No. They're slaves to the money. They're slaves to this. So it's all in a state of consciousness. It's more than the meaning of the word, and I don't know why I went off on that. Why did I go off?
No, it doesn't matter where you wanted to go, and you did.
Yeah.
But I know one thing. I have a choice now. What I want to do, and my choice is: do I want to rule others, or do I want to work with others? And must have learned in other lifetimes, it's much more helpful and beneficial and more in line with the one to work with people than to try to work on them or try to rule them. I can't get behind that energy anymore, if I ever did. I can't remember doing it. But the fact
is,
I did at one time do it, but the fact is now I choose. It's so much fun. It's so great to just see a smile on somebody's face. You know, you just want to have put that on everybody's face. And so that's what I try to do. And, you know, I'm pretty much not a Pollyanna. I wouldn't say that. But I am, look always for the positive. Always thinking everything works out at the end for the good mind of God. So, knowing that fact, I can live with the rest of it, you know. Excuse me. I've been very sick, you guys, so excuse me when I cough a little much.
Hey, listen, why don't you come in on our Sunday call this Sunday and do another Law of One discussion group?
Well, I don't know where, I don't know each day where I'll be.
Well, if you can, because now all these people, everyone's listening to you, and they like you. And by the way, if anyone got our email today, it's got a little place to make a donation. So if you want to, do it. And 100% goes to helping Suzanne. You know, she's been out of commission for a couple of months, and it's really hurt her financially.
It's my family.
It's your family. She's
it's hurt my family a little because
they're all living
there's
together.
There's things we have to get and stuff.
And Suzanne, you're a poet, aren't you, amongst everything else?
A what?
And don't you write poetry?
You mean a calligrapher?
No. You know you're a calligrapher, but you write poetry.
Oh, yeah. I do.
I know you write poetry because I said, Suzanne, get some poems ready for because I'm going to have you on tonight, right?
Yeah, boy, that was not easy. I was told here that I better stop doing the poetry and pay attention to my walking. So I went and did both.
You did? Okay.
I got and did my walking.
They make you walk to exercise every day, right?
Every day. Mm-hmm. Even though I've been laying in bed all this time. I was in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. And then when I came here, they wouldn't let me get up alone. And finally today they did. And the guy, he said, hey, you're awesome. And he doesn't realize that I have a good motive. I want to go home. I don't really want to stay here.
Mm.
It's going to take some time. But I'm going to try it. Give my best to it.
Let's get those poems out before we run out of time. Okay?
Oh, all right. Here we have one. Now, let me line this up. This is for Wynn, Terry, for the Raw On, and for myself, Suzanne. Catching light, tangerine, orange, lemon, high sun catchers, glinting in the new sun, twinkling between the sun of the new day, islands of insulin. What makes a beautiful body? Does that which makes a beautiful soul? Lined in a line and musing with Elohim and the Ra. To join the great sea is the place for me to be, of where white, hot, luminous suns match the blackness of wandering night, breath catchers, and love. That's one. And now I have not written this one out, but this is a poem that I've written in one form and not both completely, but this is about the subject. When an old person dies, people often say, that person was worn out. That person had nothing good now. That person should move off the scene. But actually, if you think about it, when an old person moves off the line and people stop listening, the world loses a book. A book of knowledge is left sitting idle to the world. That book that should be picked up and should be visited and should be put as a place of honor and that book should remain for all that time as one talks about the past to those ones that love to listen. And this is exactly how one should spend their time, spending time with the elderly, those who are not able to be talked to because of sadness. Seeing sad many faces here in other places, but you reach out to those persons and speak to them and say, what was your life like? And they'll smile and they will open up to you, because now someone is verifying that they also had a wonderful life. And this is a very good use of one time. Okay, that's number three. Did you like that one?
I did.
Yeah, that was what I used to do with my time when I was a young person. I would find these older people and sit down and talk to them. And I still did it in the home. And I still like to do it. Excuse me. I would love to have people give ideas for poems, and I will do my best to write them out. And anybody want to give me ideas, pass them to Wynn and pass them to Terry, and I will I had a very short time to do these, but I would be happy to do any of these poems for people
and any
subject they want.
You do calligraphy also, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, when I talk about my life of my business, people start getting teary because it's something they've never heard of. I mean, I didn't have a job. I needed a job. So what I did was I taught myself the beautiful writing of letters. And I did it over and over and over until I pretty much had it down. And I would take my art and I would draw the art for people. And if you had a loved one or you had someone that you wanted to express your love and you didn't know how to do it, you'd come to me. And you'd see all the things on my walls. And you'd say, Suzanne, I have loved this person. This is my adopted mother. But I don't know how to say I love you. And so Suzanne would concoct her very best cocktail of love for this person. And I would write it out. And on the side, I would put lanterns and vines, and beautiful, beautiful artwork cascading down the side of the art. And I would take that piece and I would decorate it all up. I would cut the mat. I would put it in a frame. A person would come and see these. And I've had many of these show in Judges and Lawyers of the Year who wanted to give my work to somebody they loved in a high place of like justice for the courts. I didn't know if anybody knew I did that.
I didn't know you did that.
Yes,
but
I did that.
I don't think
I also did it for lovers, for those getting married, for those who have lost someone, for
Suzanne,
anything that could be written.
Suzanne, you know what? We got to get off. Our time is up. Okay. On BBS.
All right.
So why don't you say hello to your daughters, because I'll bet they listen to this, okay?
Oh, hey, you guys.
And I'm just going to read this one little note from somebody that made a donation. Dear Suzanne, I really depend on your translations because I can't understand them when they're talking. My English is not good enough for understanding Americans. All the best to you. Love, Duarte. And he is in Switzerland? Zegenhagen, wherever that is, okay? I don't know.
Sounds like
oh, that's
Norwegian.
But we got to get off. So thank you, everybody. You know, if you want to do my ET workshop, look at today's email. If you sign up by tonight, we have that discount code for $3 off. It's really good to know what's happening in the world of UFOs. And Suzanne, thank you so much for honoring us by your presence today.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And Terry's thinking, oh, my God, I didn't have to channel. That's good. She's giving her
no, I'm really touched by tonight. Thank you, Suzanne.
Giving your pituitary gland a rest.
There you are, make me cry.
And
she really
I think
does.
The conference line is open. If anyone wants to say goodbye, we're open.